The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Usually I find mindfulness practice quite interesting. There's so much to notice and to be revealed. And one of the things, subjects that I find often interesting is the emotions, mindfulness of emotions. And there's many perspectives in which to look at emotions and be present for them. One of the guidelines for learning to be mindful of emotions is to be able to distinguish between living in the emotion, being caught up in the emotion, versus having an emotion, but kind of in a sense stand aside and watch it and see it, or to be present for it, to be aware of it, without assuming that you are the emotion, not defining yourself by the emotion. So it can be helpful sometimes to shift from saying, I'm angry, to there's anger here. I'm sad and there's sadness here. I'm afraid versus there's fear here. Or I'm happy and there's happiness here. Whatever there might be. Because often when we define ourselves by the emotion, I am angry, then it becomes a much more complicated event for two reasons. One is that it's an abstraction. I am X is an abstract thing. And it's very hard to get your handle on an abstraction, to really see it for what it is. But there's anger here, that's not so abstract. The I is the abstract thing. And the second reason why it's difficult is because of that abstraction, it tends to load the emotion on with a lot of other ideas and associations, meanings. I am not supposed to be a person who's angry. I'm supposed to be showing off all my happiness. It's not acceptable for me to be this way. Whereas if it's just anger, if we separate out the anger or the happiness from the person, from ourselves, then it's easier to see clearly what's actually happening and not be entangled with it quite as much. One of the perspectives then, we're looking at emotions, is to look at them from the point of view of if there's any motivation that's part of it, is any sense of purpose, anything that the emotions are trying to do. So like if you're angry, there's kind of an emotion, a purpose or motivation often to somehow lash out, push away, get away, that's going on. If you're in love, there might be a desire, the motivation to want, to be close to that person in a variety of ways. If there is happiness, there might be, a kind of leaning into it, that wanting to have more of it, that might be part of that happiness, the joy. There might be a feeling of contentment. And that contentment seems to come, it comes together with a feeling of wanting to just settle back, just relax, be present, kind of settle in. So whatever the emotion might be, it's interesting to see if there's a desire or a motivation that comes along with it. Because it's often the desire or the motivation which is one of the hooks when we get involved in the emotion, and it influences us, has an impact on how we live our lives. But if you see the motivation that comes with it, then you have a much more choice about whether you go along with that motivation or whether you try to free yourself from it or not get hooked by it. The other thing that's interesting with the emotions, mindfulness emotions, is to notice how quickly they change. There might be an overarching mood or emotion which kind of colors your whole day, perhaps. And you just feel like you're just grumpy all day or irritated all day or something, and that's how it goes, or just frightened, anxious all day. But emotions are not solid. They're constantly being recreated and reinforced. Lately I've heard of this, I never heard of this before, and it makes some sense to me, but as how I've watched emotions in myself. But I've heard what seems to be called a 90-second rule. Have you heard this? The new idea, 90-second rule. It seems to be this idea that if you don't do anything about a strong emotion that's happened, meaning you don't get involved with it and re-trigger it. Emotions don't last more than 90 seconds, no matter how intense and strong it is. And so if you just kind of like, okay, I'm feeling grief, just kind of like relax and let the grief kind of wash through, and it's not going to last more than 90 seconds, that wave of it. But it lasts a lot longer if we get involved, and it can seem like it can last for days when we're entangled with it. I'm the one who's grieving, I'm upset, this is terrible, I shouldn't be. Poor me, this great loss I had. And then we tell ourselves a story over and over again, the loss we have. It might be a very real loss, not to be made fun of or maybe belittled. But there's something about that getting out of the way allows things to go. Or anger, you know, the counting to 10 rule, you know, approach. Partly it's just getting out of the way, and maybe it takes more than, it doesn't take quite 90 seconds to do, you know, count to 10, but same principle. You get out of the way, and because emotions are not fixed, solid things. They're processes that are moving through us. And so if we can get out of the way enough to let it wash through, it actually passes quite quickly. So I don't know if where this 90-second rule came from, but it's quite interesting, 90 seconds. Can you be patient for 90 seconds? The other thing that I find interesting is how many different emotions can wash through, even if there's overall kind of mood or being at class all day. And one of the fun places to do mindfulness of emotions is driving, and to be sensitive to all the subtle shifts of emotions that go on. Again, you might have an overarching mood, and you might be blinded by that, you know, that's all you see. You're involved with the mood, the emotion, you're involved with your irritation, your anger at what's going on at work or something, and just kind of eating you away. And that's all you think there is. But if you kind of relax a little bit and look around for the subtleties of what's happening, you'll see as you're driving probably a lot of small little shifts of emotions, different kinds, as you're driving. So you're driving along and happily being irritated or happily being happy or whatever you're doing. And this police car pulls up behind you. And if you're sensitive and paying attention, probably you notice, most people notice a little bit of fear, a little concern. What's this, you know, and that cop car is not leaving my tail. What's going on here? And it was a year ago or so now, here in Redwood City, I had a cop car, police car, pull up behind me. Stay kind of close. And I made a left turn to a side street. It made a left turn. I made a right turn. It just kept following me. It seemed like through Redwood City. I don't know, it was checking up on me or, you know, doing a computer search on my license plate, or it just happened to be coincidence we were going to the same place, but I was a little bit more awake. You know, I had my interests were directed in my rearview mirror much more than normally would be. What is this? So, you know, and then you're on the freeway, and then some car cuts you off or doesn't let you in. You know, you need to get into the lane. And then there's irritation that arises. Or suddenly a car kind of brakes a little bit too fast in front of you, and a little bit of fear again happens. Or some beautiful car, I don't know what kind of car attracts you, but, you know, some, you know, attractive-looking, beautiful, voluptuous car drives by, and you feel this desire. You know, I'd like that kind of car. Or maybe it's a person driving the car that, remember when I was in Italy, growing up in Italy, when I was 17, or eight, I guess I was 18, I had really long hair, you know, way down, you know, to my diaphragm area below, and blonde hair. And I remember driving on the freeways in Italy, and there weren't a lot of long hairs back then, and long-haired guys. And every Italian man who drove by me, passed me on the freeway, would turn around and look. And I said, oh, that's what it's like for women. And I thought, oh, get that kind of attention all the time, probably. So, you know, so anyway. So there's all these little things, shifts that can happen. And I find it fascinating to kind of ride the kaleidoscope, the shifting and changing. And it might seem inconsequential, any particular minor little movement of irritation or fear or desire or delight or humor or whatever. But if you're not careful, they can have an accumulative effect of you over a day. So like a lot of seemingly incidental movements of anxiety, they have their toll, and they add up over time. And so it's no surprise at the end of the day someone is exhausted or stressed out or you know, the anxiety is built. But if you track it as you go along, then one of the beautiful qualities of mindfulness is that you don't, if you track it in a non-reactive, just let it be there, don't get involved with it, just let it wash through, it tends not to accumulate, it tends not to leave traces. And so you can, the slow step-by-step building of tension or habit or whatever it might be, tends not to happen as much. So it's a kind of nice thing to have the emotions wash through and know how to let them wash through. So I would recommend that you find some situation where you can practice the kaleidoscope approach to mindfulness, or the kaleidoscope of emotions, whether it's driving, if that's where you kind of do it, or at work, or you know, some place where you can have enough quiet, or enough, you know, left alone enough you can watch, and where enough things are going on. Maybe it's shopping, you know, in the supermarket, you know, with your shopping cart going down the aisles. And just notice all the shifts, subtle, really subtle shifts and changes are going inside of you. And what attracts your attention, how you feel about things, and the desire, the aversion, the other people there, and how you react to them and take them in. And what happens to you emotionally when you go down the detergent or household pesticide aisle. Because it shifts, I feel a shift in me when I go down certain aisles. Oh, I don't know if I want to be in this aisle. So you might have fun. It could be fun. Hopefully it's fun. Watch your kaleidoscopes go through. So that's what I have to say this morning. I hope you enjoy your emotions.